Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Eileen Godofsky-Marino is a health coach, a recipe developer, a food photographer, and she's the gal behind the blog, The Colorful Kitchen. She combines her background in design with her passion for plant-based food to create and share recipes that are colorful, not complicated. Her recipes have been featured in the New York Times, the Huffington Post, BuzzFeed, and Today Food, among others. Eileen can be found cooking and eating with her husband and daughter in their small but colorful kitchen. Welcome, Eileen. Are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. So where did all this wonderful passion for food begin?
Well, it was a very, very long time coming. I was not very interested in food when I was growing up. I had tons of allergies, and I had bad reactions to the food that I ate, and so I had no passion for food. I didn't enjoy eating. It wasn't something that brought me joy like it does now. But as I started, this is an abbreviated version of the story, but as I started to heal my body through the food that I ate, I really started to enjoy cooking for the first time in my life, and I realized that I could do this nourishing activity that was also so fun, and I found the kitchen to be a place that I could be extremely creative. And so it's only been for the past 10 or so years that I've actually really loved food and loved cooking. And now it's my main passion in life.
Mm-hmm. And your recipe book, The Colorful Kitchen, is absolutely beautiful. And it's done just with a rainbow of color. It's so colorful. How did you begin to write your book?
I think the book was also a long time coming. I started my recipe blog about 5 years ago, and it was just because I was making all of these recipes at home, and I felt like I wanted to share them. And I wasn't thinking it would become a business or a book or anything at that time, but people were responding to the recipes I shared on my blog, and I just thought, you know, maybe this could be a cookbook one day. At this point, I was so interested in cooking. I loved cookbooks so much. And so I really just stuck with the blog, and eventually the story of what my cookbook could look like started to form in my head until it actually became something I wanted to pursue. And so I found an agent. Together we found the right publisher, and that's sort of the history of it.
Mm-hmm. So when you're planning your menu for the day, do you go through your head and think, well, I need something red, I need something green, I need something purple? Is that how you plan?
Well, somewhat. I think I'm one of those people who, when I finish breakfast in the morning, I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat for lunch and dinner. Now I sort of always have food on the brain, but when I'm planning a meal, if I'm thinking, oh, this is a lot of like green and brown, let's say I'm making brown rice and lentils and some greens, I'll think, you know, this needs some other colors in it. So I don't necessarily hit every single color in every single meal, but it doesn't feel balanced to me unless, you know, I feel like some tomatoes that are red or some sweet potatoes that are orange and make it feel like a more balanced plate.
And you're a young family with a daughter. How affordable is it to cook the way you do?
What is it?
How affordable? Is it affordable to use your book?
In my cookbook, I really tried to stick with ingredients that you can buy anywhere at any store. So let's say you don't have to go to, a health food store or a store that specializes in organic or anything like that. All the ingredients you can find wherever you shop, wherever you live. And I think for that reason, you know, it keeps it pretty affordable. As much as I love all the superfood supplements and all of that, it's not necessary. Like, you can have a balanced diet by shopping at the farmer's market and buying in bulk. And those are some things, of course, like you said, I have a family. And so now that I'm cooking for three instead of two, it definitely changes the way I look at the food budget. But I find that buying from the bulk section is one way to keep costs down and shopping at the farmer's market. And so I don't think that the way I eat is any more expensive than anyone else's diet.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been vegan?
It's been almost I guess it's been 11 years now.
Mm-hmm. And it's worked really well for you? There's no concerns nutritionally?
No, I've always eaten a very balanced, healthy diet, and my doctor has always agreed that I'm healthy and I feel energized, so it's been working for me.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any guidelines or any help to those who are still eating meat or might be vegetarian but leaving all animal products out? How do you make that leap?
Well, I think for people who want to reduce the amount of animal products that they're eating, I think you have to take it slowly. For most people, if you just try and cut everything out all at once, that's not a very sustainable change to make. So I think picking one meal a day and saying that for breakfast I'll make a smoothie or oatmeal and that is my vegan meal of the day. And then as you feel more comfortable with it, maybe for lunch, let's say you're used to having a sandwich with meat in it, you find a vegan alternative like a tempeh BLT or a chickpea tuna salad recipe. And you start adding in foods that you like and sort of slowly take the place of the foods that you're used to eating. I think that's a very comfortable way to transition.
Mm-hmm. And why do you choose to be vegan?
Well, it definitely started with an interest in not eating animals. And from a very young age, I was vegetarian off and on just because the idea of eating animals never felt right to me, and I couldn't see the difference between why I, like my dog was my pet and I loved her, but why a cow is food. And to me, there wasn't a difference. And as I got older and, of course, became more interested in veganism, I realized that there are so many more layers to that. The way that the food system is set up now, most of the mainstream animal products are made from factory farms in conditions that are not ideal for animals and for the planet. And of course now the issue of sustainability is so big, and methane gases from cows that we have for milk and meat and dairy are one of the largest contributors of methane gas in the air. And so that on top of not wanting to eat animals and on top of the fact that my health has improved so much since I've cut out all of those things, the whole picture adds up for me.
What are some of the health benefits you've seen since going vegan?
For myself, dairy was very hard on my body, and that's not something I realized until I was 20 years old, but I used to always have stomach aches after each meal, and I just thought that was normal. I thought you'd eat and you would feel bad afterwards. And I also had tons of allergy issues. I was on multiple prescription medications since the time I was 7 years old. And when I started cutting out dairy, the stomach ache started going away after my meals and my allergies disappeared. And those were the first two things where I suddenly felt good in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And once that was cleared up, I started to experiment more and more and do trial and error with different foods. And I just found that I felt so much more energy. My skin was clear. You know, I shed a couple extra pounds that I was carrying on, and I really just felt like I was in my best body once I had stopped eating some of those foods that clearly weren't working for me.
Mm-hmm. And Eileen, do you have any trouble balancing? Do you have to really think about it when you're using this recipe book, like thinking, am I getting enough protein or am I getting enough essential fatty acid? Or if just using these recipes will be enough to create balance?
So I think the idea behind the colorful, not complicated dairy is that if you have a ton of different colors on your plate, each different color has different vitamins and nutrients. And so if you're hitting all the colors, you're hitting a variety of vitamins and nutrients. Of course, as you said, protein is a little bit of a different issue, but I balance my recipes out with protein, and I'm always very conscious of, you know, is there tempeh or tofu or beans or nuts in something? I make sure to have protein with each meal for myself. And I would say for most of the recipes in the book, they're designed that way. Mm-hmm. So you kind of don't quite have to think about it, and it makes it a little bit easier for you.
Okay. And usually that is one of the big fears when people are going vegetarian or even to be vegan is like, where am I going to get my protein? Tell us, how do we get a lot of protein without having to eat a cow?
Absolutely. I think that's definitely something that people are concerned about because they don't realize how many other places you can get protein from. Like I looked at before, tempeh and tofu, I think, are probably two that people know, and those can make really great meat substitutes. And those are soy products, so that would go hand-in-hand with, like, soybeans and edamame and all of that. But then for soy-free protein, there's all sorts of legumes, beans and lentils and all of that. And then there's nuts and seeds. And, of course, there's also protein powder, and there are tons of very healthy, organic types of protein powder, like pea protein, for instance, or their hemp protein powders. And I think if people really are concerned when they're making a transition and they don't want to have to think about it too much, to add a scoop of protein powder to a smoothie in the morning, for instance, is a really great way to make sure you're getting your protein in without having to think about it.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the favorite foods of your daughter at this age and stage?
Well, right now, her taste changes every week, of course, but she loves pasta. And so there's a sweet potato mac and cheese recipe in the book where instead of a cheese sauce, it's made from pureed sweet potato blended up with tahini and tamari and all of that. And she loves that recipe because she's a big pasta girl. She also really likes avocado toast. She loves smoothies. She's a pretty big eater. And so I've made most of the smoothies in the book for her, and those go over really well.
That's just beautiful. That mac and cheese looks just delicious. If she's old enough to go out and be around other children, does she find, like, what are they eating? Like, it's so different than most families.
Well, she's only 17 months right now.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think that is an issue for us yet. It's something I think about, and it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening. But my plan is to raise her awareness from an early age. Right, even now when I give her food, I like how I just described to you what's in the recipe. I do that with her. I just give them the habit because I want her to feel empowered around food, and I don't want her to feel restricted. And so I want her to feel like she's involved in the cooking and that she wants to eat the food that she's eating.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to go to a quick break, Eileen. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about all these wonderful recipes in your colorful kitchen.